God will supply our every need. That's it. And so we're put in positions, I mean, almost daily, if we're honest, to rely on God, to rely on Him. It might be a life-changing situation. Maybe it's a financial challenge or a marital challenge. It could be, you know, one of your children's not following the Lord and they're all gone off the rails. And, you know, I mean, there's all these things that kind of where we're, that circumstances where we feel that we just don't know what to do. And so we have a couple of options. We can freak out, which is often, a lot of times, my first reaction is freaking. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, God. I can rely on Him. I can go to Him. I can rely on Him. But God will provide for your every need. I mean, if He can provide manna, bread from heaven, right? I mean, just isn't that so cool how, you know, he made these, the dew, when it dried up, there were these flakes of things that they could gather up and make into all kinds of things. As the gospel singer from long ago, well, Keith Green said, "Bomana bread," instead of banana bread, "Bomana bread." You know, so they made it into all kinds of things, right? God's provision, it's miraculous. I mean, it's truly miraculous. You know, I brought the quail in the evening, and in the morning there was the manna. I was thinking about Frank Farazin. He's not here in the room right now. That's okay. He's doing something for someone. I can guarantee it. That's Frank. Frank is awesome. But I was thinking about him because, you know, he went through a job change here not too long ago, right? He's had his own landscaping company, started that when he and I were roommates, which was a few years ago. And, and so then just circumstances came about, sold the company, transitioned to, there's a lot more to it than this, but transitioned into sales for a company. And, that's a life changer right there. And I had conversations with Frank, and I know, you know, gosh, that's a test of faith. There was a lot in that was a test of faith and being forced to rely on God. And you could probably tell your own story about things that you've had to rely on God for. Or maybe right now you have to trust God for His provision. And really, I don't want us to miss this in terms of what the big idea here is. Just that, you know, that I can daily rely on God to provide for my every need. My every need. When you look at that text there, if you have your Bible, or open up the Bible on your device and you take a look at Exodus 16, and we just see what the Lord has to say here about this provision, is that if you look down at verse 4, Exodus 16, verse 4, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions.'" And as the person that was speaking in that video was saying, he's like, this is a test. This is a test. And daily, you know, they had to trust God, didn't they? If you read the text, read on there, you know, what would happen if they tried to gather up more food than was needed for the day? It would rot. It would turn into maggots, you know, if you tried to store it up. And they did try to store it up, right? Probably a natural reaction to say, wow, man, I better get some of this, because what if I don't have it tomorrow? But God said he would provide it, right? Daily, daily. And so when I think about this daily provision for my every need, you know, I think about that passage there in Matthew 6 on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, listen, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. That has enough troubles of itself. And you know, later on in that passage in Matthew 6 and verse 33, God promises to provide for our every need. He really does. He says, if you seek first my kingdom, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And in the context there, the all things are just your basic needs will be provided for. God says, if you put him first, rely on him. Right? So, in one sense, you know, we just need to be thinking about, you know, listen, whatever is going on today, God has given you the daily provision, okay, for that day. You know, and I can all see all the planners in the room saying, well, but, you know, and you got your calendar in mind and your, no, God's not saying he's against planning when he's saying that, but he's really trying to put it in perspective. He's saying, listen, I will provide you with everything you need for this day. And that's certainly one of the things that the people of Israel were trying to be taught, is that it's a daily thing, you know. Isn't it great to know that when you wake up tomorrow, God is going to provide what you need for that day? Whether it's a material need, an emotional need, whatever, he can be that for you. And it's a matter of whether we'll rely on him. Relying on God. Think about Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my, what? Shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, well, there you go. Right? He's our shepherd. He's going to take care of us. Of course, we're like the sheep of his pasture. Right? God's people, the sheep of his pasture, he's going to provide for them, of course. And, you know, if God's not a good shepherd, then who is? Right? Good shepherds provide for their sheep. They have no lack. And that's a promise, right? We can rely on God. He's someone that you can trust. He will not let you down. If you also turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? So Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verse 3, it says, it's kind of it's looking back, and it's a commentary on this situation in Exodus 16. It says, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you. Isn't this cool? You know, We need to think that, you know, if we can't think of a way that God's going to provide for us, he doesn't operate, you know, always according to the norms. He can provide for our needs in all kinds of ways we haven't even thought of. He provided them a food that they had never known before. And so to me, that encourages my faith, because then that means I can really trust God so that when I don't see a way out, and I have to rely on him, I'm like, well, that's okay, because he's used to doing things where there doesn't seem to be a way, right? And so this food was previously unknown. And he says, now here it says the purpose of this. It says, he did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, Jesus quoted that passage as well. Right, that we, you know, it's more, there's more to life than just physical things, right? And certainly that is a necessity, our physical provision, food, water, right? And certainly bread was a staple back then, right? In this time, you know, if you didn't have bread, you know, you know, that's your food, that's a staple for your food, right? And so But he's saying here that there's more to life than just that, and we need to rely on God. Rely on the words of his mouth. Even if they had never experienced this food before and this way of God's providing, they needed to trust the words that God said. Okay? Is God challenging you to trust him for a promise that he's given in his word right now? Maybe your situation, you could even think of a promise he's giving you, you know, not to worry, like the Matthew 6 passage talks about, or you know, just whatever. I mean, it might be the 633, that his provision, as you put him first, that he'll take care of your needs, right? And so, but we can trust his word and rely on it, right? And that's what he's saying here, is that we live not by just bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God was testing, he was trying to teach them that you can take him at his word as we live out our calling, as we learn the things that God wants us to do as Christians and that he calls us to. He will provide for you. He will provide for you. You know, so he can daily, we can daily rely on God to provide for our every need, but, you know, also, you know, what started this whole thing was they started complaining. They were grumbling, as the scripture says, right? They were complaining. And when I complain about my situation, I'm displaying a lack of trust in God's provision. You know, that's really what we should get from this, is that, you know, you might be complaining about a person. They were complaining about people. You know, that when you go back to that passage in Exodus 16, right, and you take a look at some of the verses there, in verse 2, Exodus 2, it says, "There too the whole community of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. They said," and here's what some of their complaints were like, "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they moaned. I mean, it's just, you know, whoo. "Yeah, there we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. I don't know for sure, but I just wonder if they're lacking a little perspective. I mean, did they really have all that they wanted to eat? I don't know. I'm just wondering." You know, sometimes when you're not seeing things right, you kind of fabricate how things, good things really were, right? And they were craving what they thought was the best situation for them. And it says, and it goes on to say, "But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death." You know, so they're complaining. And they're complaining against Moses and Aaron, their leaders. You know, you ever complain about your boss? I'm sure you never do. You know, or complain about your mom or dad, or complain about your teachers. I'm sure none of my students have never complained about me. Oh, I do. I read about them on ratemyprofessor.com. Yeah. You get the good, the bad, and the ugly there. Wish I had it then when I was a student. Some of you don't know, that's a website where you can rate the professors, you know, I'm sorry, but there's a hotness rating. You know that? I don't have any ratings with hotness. And I'm okay with that. I think my wife's okay with that. There's a chili pepper rating. I don't know. Anyway, that's a little off topic, but we can complain. That's my point. I may get back on the track here. You can complain about people, right? I think about it. You know, who has placed your parents in your life? Who has sovereignly chosen, even though you tried to sign up for that class and got closed out and got put in this professor's class, who has sovereignly done that? Who has put that boss in your life? Well, the answer is God. He's in control, right? And so, you know, in fact, Moses really points this out He says there in verse 8, then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening, that's the quail, and bread to satisfy you in the morning, that's the manna, for he has heard all your complaints against him. Yes, I love this. This is the New Living Translation. Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. He's really calling it out. Moses is just saying, listen, we're following the Lord. You complain against us and that we've led you out here. The Lord led us out here. You know, your railing and complaining is really a lack of trust in God. And, you know, we can take pot shots, so to speak, at the Israelites, but we do the same thing when we complain. Anytime we're complaining, right, we're just basically saying, I'm not trusting you, God, that this person you've put in my life, this person that you put over me in authority, or whatever, this brother or sister that you gave me, you know, that he has not somehow designed that for us. And for us to not to receive that situation with trust and thanksgiving is wrong. It's a total lack of relying on God. See, that he's really provided this situation for me and for my good. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Think about that for a second. So this week, when you are tempted to complain, when the words start to come out of your mouth, I want you to say, and I don't care if it's verbally or not, I guess it just depends on your scenario, say, this is a test. This is a test. Practice it with me. This is a test. All right, anytime you're tempted to complain, that's what I want you to do. This is a test from the Lord. Okay, all right? So, and it just helps us remind ourselves of who's in charge, right? Of your situation, not just of the people, you know, that might cause you to want to complain, but your situation. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, this is not the kind of thing where you say, boy, I'm sure glad I have this disease, you know? That's not what we're saying about not complaining. Yeah, there are very hard life situations. There is suffering. That is real, you know. But even in those tough situations, even in the suffering, God has purpose. And that's hard for anyone to see when they're really in the throes of it. But God's not absent from that place. He's in it. He's in it. He really is. And so we need to realize that, and that He wants to provide for us and even know him in a better way through that difficult situation. Because when we have to lean on him and rely on him, we grow in our relationship with him, right? So, when we complain about our situation, we're displaying a lack of trust in God's provision. No doubt about it. You know, one of the things I want to mention before we move on from this Exodus 16 is to think about that sixth day. The sixth day, you know, 7 days in a week, right? On the sixth day, because the Lord didn't want them to work on the Sabbath, right? He wanted them to take one day off in 7 days. And he said, listen, on that sixth day, you can gather up a double portion of the manna, and unlike the other days, it won't rot. Is that cool or what? You know, so on the other days, if you gather up a double portion, you know, the extra portion is going to rot. But on this day, because the Lord wants them, again, this is really an issue of trust, isn't it? Isn't really a Sabbath rest, that concept? You know, the Sabbath is really for us. I don't know if you realize this, but, you know, it says man was not created. The Bible says the man was not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was created for man. It's for our benefit, right, to take a day off and to rest. It's for our benefit, right? And so the Lord wants them to receive that benefit. And so he's saying, listen, I'm not going to have any manna show up on the ground on day number seven on the Sabbath day. There won't be any out there, so you'll have to gather it all up on the sixth day, and it won't rot, and it'll be there for you. So I'm providing for you. And I think about this in terms of, I don't know what you're like, but maybe you're the type of person who just, it's hard to conceive of not working a day, or that you've got to be doing something all the time, right? And, you know, I don't know what your situation is, and it's just a matter of, you know, I think it's really an issue of saying, do you want to receive from God rest and replenishment? I think when we're able to say, listen, this Sabbath, because they had to trust God that if they gathered up enough that it wouldn't rot, and they had to trust him that when they, you know, there were people who actually went out on that next day and tried to gather, you know, stuff up on the Sabbath, and there wasn't anything there. And so some of us, it just depends on how you're wired, some of us are just working 24/7, and we need to say, you know, listen, we're not designed for that. And God really wants us to back off and trust him, right? Do you believe that if you carve out time to rest, that the Lord can make up for the lack of work on that day? I think so. Just like, you know, if they're not going to go out and be able to gather up manna on that day, right, on that Sabbath day, that God will provide. And God will provide, you know, if we put him first and so on. I was just thinking of that Sabbath principle that is kind of reinforced there, that the Lord really wants us, again, just to trust him, to trust him. And so, again, this is really all about believing that God will provide for your every need. And when we live life the way God calls us to, even though it may might seem strange sometimes to those around you, or might seem counterintuitive, like taking a day off. You know, there are some people, they think that just doesn't make sense. How can I get more work done if I take that day off? That as we step out and trust him, he will provide. He always delivers. Now, the other thing that this manna incident teaches us, you know, this went on for 40 years, you know, all through the wilderness wanderings there of God's people. He provided day in and day out for those 40 years. That's amazing, right? Well, this also, this situation, the manna coming down from heaven is also, it's a foreshadowing of God sending Jesus as his provision for our spiritual need. In other words, when I say foreshadowing, it's kind of pointing forward to some other spiritual reality, right? He physically fed these people in a miraculous way to meet a physical need, right? But then God, through Jesus Christ, God was going to send Jesus, and Jesus, I'll read the passage in a minute, but he calls himself the bread who's come down from heaven, the true bread, he says, as God's provision for our spiritual need. Okay? So let's go there, John chapter 6, the Gospel of John, and take a look at some of the verses where this comes out. So John chapter 6, and in my Bible, the heading, starting at verse 22, John chapter 6, verse 22, says, Jesus, the bread of life. Okay, and that's just added in there to help us kind of see where things maybe change topic a little bit. But so he's talking about himself as the bread of life. Now, a really important thing to know is we're dropping in to this place in the Gospel of John after a couple other things have happened. Okay. Shortly before this, Jesus miraculously fed 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay? 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed those 5,000 plus people. Amazing, right? And as you could imagine, if you were one of the people who were fed that day and got your free meal, a free Jesus meal, you're going to be following him around because this guy's got free meals. Okay? I mean, and that's exactly what's happening, man. They're finding out where he's at, and they're like, hey, where's Jesus today on Twitter? Let's check him out. Where's he at? Oh, he's over there. The boat went across the way. Let's go over there. And here's what Jesus says. It says, the next day, this is verse 22, next day the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near that place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So, when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor the disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? Tommy's growling. It's my commentary. Verse 26. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you. See, I didn't make that up. That's what Jesus said. You guys, you know, Jesus can read your mail. You know what I mean by that? He knows what's going on right in here. He can read your mail. He knows what's going on, really. Right? And so Jesus says, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. The miraculous signs were there to attest he is the Son of God. And he just calls it out. He says, but don't be so concerned about the perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. You know, here we are. He's saying, Jesus is saying, listen, you guys are spending all this energy seeking out another free meal. There's more important things, too, you need to be thinking about, and that is eternal life. You know, that's not something we think about that often, I don't think. I mean, if you were to ask people that you run into or your friends, what have you been thinking about today? I doubt many people are saying, I've been thinking about eternal life. Now, some are. Some have been. Maybe they're facing a life and death situation or they've had a family member that's passed away. I mean, you know, these things, there are things that come up that make us think about that. But I'm just saying, Jesus is really saying, you need to stop thinking about just the material things. We need to get our focus on spiritual things. And Jesus is pointing this out. Verse 28, he says, they replied, we want, you know, well, I guess I better back up. He says, but don't be concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man, he's referring to himself, can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. He's saying, listen, I'm the guy. I'm the Savior. I'm the one. And listen to this. The same people that got the free miraculous meal say, they replied, we want you to perform God's works too. Or we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? There's like, hey, this is cool. We want to do, you know, the kind of cool stuff you're doing. What does Jesus tell them? He tells them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. Jesus brings it right down to the crux. He says, what do you say about me? Do you believe in me, Jesus says. That's the key thing. Don't worry about all these things you want to do for God. First and foremost, let's get first things first. Do you believe in me, he says. And that's a word for any one of us today. Is maybe you're concerned about a lot of things, but do you really believe in Jesus? Do you believe in him, that he's the Son of God? And then they say, it's interesting, you know, so he challenges them. He goes, what you guys need to do is, this is the work you need to do, is believe in me. They answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. Oh my gosh, they just saw it. They just saw the 5,000 fed. Show me a sign. What are you talking about? You know, I mean, this, and this is the tie-in now with Exodus 16, the transition in the text is, after all our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness, the scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Oh, Moses, you know, Moses, he's our great leader, and you know, he's a great guy, you know, the friend of God. There's nothing against Moses here, but they just don't get who they're talking to. You say, hey, you know, Moses, he brought the manna down from heaven, and so let's see something on that order, you know. And so Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. And they're like, what? What are you talking about, Willis? Says, my father did. Listen, he says, my father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. You know, Jesus came down from heaven. He existed before all time, right? He just stepped into skin on Christmas. But he existed before that. And Jesus is saying, I came down from heaven. I'm the Son of God. I'm the true bread who gives life, not just the physical life that you get from eating bread, but life eternal. Eternal life, living forever with God. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Duh. Yeah, give us that bread every day. So now they're like, hey, well, if that's it, that's an interesting thing, man. Give us some of that every day. And he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again. Now that's quite a promise, isn't it? But that's what Jesus does. He says, you come to me. If you come to me, you partake of this bread, meaning him, the true bread. He says, you'll never hunger again. Now, is he saying you'll never have to eat another meal? No, no, no. He's talking about satisfying our deepest spiritual needs. Satisfying things in our lives spiritually, which no food could ever do. He says, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So he's just kind of doubling it up here. He's just saying, you partake of me, you believe in me, you'll never be hungry again. You partake of me, you believe in me, you'll never be thirsty again. It's like what he told the woman at the well, Matthew chapter 4, right? Where he says, you know, listen, if you knew who it is who gives you a drink of water here at the well, you'd ask me for a drink, and you'll never thirst again. Jesus satisfies. You know, God satisfied the hunger of the people in the wilderness miraculously with the manna as they relied on him. They had to rely on God's provision. And just like that, we have to rely on God's provision for salvation to have eternal life. He's provided the God-man, Jesus Christ, the bread from heaven, as he calls himself here. He says, but he does tell them, he says, he's talking again, reading their mail. He knows what's going on in their hearts. He says, but you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. So what's the big deal here? The big thing is believing. He's challenging their belief. He's saying, you're not believing in who I am. And as long as that's true, you will not have eternal life. You'll not have satisfaction in the deepest parts of your soul. You'll try to fill it with all kinds of other things and relationships, but it will never happen. Jesus satisfies our every need. You know, why do we go to other things? Right? Why do we go to, you know, your drug of choice or alcohol or this or that or the other? It's because we're many times we're trying to escape something that we're that's going on in our world, but we don't want to face it or don't know how to face it. Well, God can help you face it through Jesus Christ. Go to Him. He wants you to go to Him instead of that drug or instead of that person that you're relying on in an unhealthy way. Right? He satisfies. He satisfies. And that's strange to us until you experience it. And that's why they call it faith, okay? You have to believe in Jesus. And Jesus, I want you to get this. Jesus is focusing in on belief here, okay? Because now he's going to start using some language that people totally misunderstand. All right? Let me read on here. It says, however, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of those who is given me. This is a wonderful promise, okay? If you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've believed on Him, admitted your need for a Savior, it's a lock, okay? Meaning, no one's going to take you out of God's hand. You're secure. You know, it's not like, you know, Jesus is going to lose you. Because once you're in the family of God by believing in Jesus, you're in. Okay? It's Jesus' words here. I should not lose even one of all those who He has given me, but that I should raise them up on the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see His Son and believe in Him should have eternal life. You got to understand who Jesus is, and you have to believe in Him, and then you have eternal life. It's black and white, or red and white in my Bible, because the red words are Jesus' words, right? So this is it. It's right there. It's not rocket science. It's not a complicated formula. It's about acknowledging your need for a Savior, admitting it, believing Jesus is the solution, and then you can have eternal life. And Jesus says He'll raise you up to be with Him on that day when He comes, right? Then the people began to murmur, in disagreement because He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. I mean, they're space and time. They're just thinking, okay, now He was born in, now, and that was back then. How was He the bread that, you know, it's an understandable confusion. He says, I am the bread who came down from heaven. They said, isn't this the Jesus, son of Joseph? We know His father and mother. How can he say I came down from heaven? But Jesus said, stop complaining. Stop complaining. I don't think that's any accident. They've just talked about manna coming down from heaven, and they were complaining. And Jesus is saying, stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent them draws me to Him at the last day, and I will raise them. And at the last day, I will raise them up. And then He says, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from Him comes to me. Now, go on down to verse 47. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. They all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I will offer, he's talking about his body, so that the world may live, is my flesh. And then he starts saying things like, I found in verse 58, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread, what's the bread again here? His flesh, His body, Jesus, right? He is the one. He's saying, unless you eat my body, you'll die. You won't have eternal life. But he says, anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, but will live forever. You know, and then, you know, people get all confused. He's talking about eating his flesh, and they're like, oh, is this cannibalism? What is this? No. What's been the whole topic before this? Believing. Believing. How do you eat Jesus' flesh? How do you take part in that? How do you get that? Well, you believe. That's what he's saying. How do you take part of it? It's not about communion. Communion, you know, when you have the bread and the juice, they're symbolic of his body and the blood, right? They are not actually his body and the blood. We're not actually eating his body. It's just symbolic. We're remembering. We're remembering that if we believe in what Jesus has done, we have God's provision for our spiritual need of forgiveness, right? Jesus provides him being the bread. If we partake in him, if we eat of him, if we believe, then you will have eternal life. It's a promise. That's the spiritual need we have, right? In the Old Testament, the manna provided for a physical need for food. Jesus is providing the one and only way to have that spiritual need of forgiveness and being made right with God happen. And it happens by believing. And those verses tell us, whoever comes to me, Jesus says, whoever comes. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter where you've come from. And if you're already a believer today, you know, you need to let people know it's whoever. It's whoever. Because people can think that they're too far gone. And that wouldn't be a thought that comes from God. Because God says, whoever. So, Jesus provides his body is the bread that's come down from heaven, and he offered it up so that we might be brought to God. We might be brought to God through believing. Now, I read a story about a guy who, this is a long time ago, and there was an ocean liner, and he was going to take a trip from Scotland to America. And it took almost everything he had financially to buy the ticket on this ocean liner. And so he wanted to make sure he had enough food, so he had some crackers and some fruit and things like that, you know, kind of to take with him. And so as he's there in his room and so on, he also had some cheese with him. And as the days went by, so day 4 and day 5, no refrigeration at this time, the cheese is getting moldy. The crackers, because you're in the sea salt air, are getting soft and stale, right? And the fruit's going bad. And he's getting real hungry because he can't really eat this stuff. You're going to get sick. Decides to take whatever little money he had left to go down to the dining area. He learned something he didn't know. And that was his ticket could have bought him every meal during the entire trip. In other words, he could have had a feast every day. But he didn't know. He just thought, okay, this ticket just gets me to the destination. But the ticket actually included all the fine dining all along the way. Man. As believers, if you're already a believer in Jesus, sometimes we're just so thankful, and we should be, for the fact that if you believe in Jesus, you know where your destination's going. To be with him forever. But we're really not realizing that he's providing and wants to provide for our every need, spiritually, physically, and so on, all along the way, along the journey until we get to the destination. And so often we're like that guy we're not really enjoying all the benefits of having had a ticket, right? Well, actually, I love the fact that Charlie used Ephesians 1, there. Let's go there. Ephesians 1. This talks about this. Ephesians 1, verse 3. It says, all praise to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. In other words, once you believe, you don't just have a ticket for eternal life. You actually, in Christ, are given every spiritual blessing, everything you need to live your life for Christ. And we need to remember that. Because if you decide to start living for Jesus, and he calls you out in faith to say things and do things that are out of your comfort zone, you're going to have to remember, oh, he's actually given me everything I need to do what he's calling me to do. Do you believe that? Because that's what it says. And we're talking about more than just believing and having eternal life here. We're talking about experiencing the spiritual blessings that he gives us as a provision for living out a life of faith. And I don't know what that is for you right now. What, you know, think about, what are you most concerned about right now? Or what are you afraid of right now? What are you worrying about and thinking about? And if you're a believer, you need to know that God, through his Holy Spirit, and just through all the spiritual blessings and storehouses of blessings he has for you, has provided the strength, the courage, the words, the staying power, whatever it is you need to do what he wants you to do. He's provided that. One other verse, 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. You don't need to say, I can't do it. Whatever it is you know God's will is, whether it's plainly written in the scripture or you just know for the convictions of your heart, he wants you to do something. Whatever that thing is, he's made provision for it. You can do it. You can. It says it right there. He has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We're living in a world where our temptations are defining who we are. And people say, no, that's who I am. When the scripture says, no, that's your temptation. That's not who you are. That's your temptation. And what you're tempted with, I'm not tempted with. And what I'm tempted with, you're not tempted with. We have our own things. And we need to know that you do not have to live under the weight of these lies. It says, everything we need for living in God. We just need to know that. We need to experience it, okay? And we need to know, you know what? There are some battles that we will fight to the day we die. And we need to understand that. Because the bill of goods that the enemy, Satan, has sold many Christians is that because I'm always tempted in this way, therefore that's how I am, that's who I am, and therefore God's okay with it, that's wrong. You know, the Apostle Paul had his thorn in the flesh, if you recall. And he asked God 3 times to remove it, and God says, no, but my, I will give you strength that's sufficient to live in a way even with that problem. And maybe some of, this is my take, maybe some of these temptations, these battles that we constantly have to fight, maybe it's a thorn in the flesh. And God says, my strength is sufficient for you. I think we need to get that. As believers, we need to know this. Jesus is not only your provision for eternal life. He's not just that bread of heaven that's come down to give you eternal life, and that when you believe on him and you partake of him, you get a ticket to ride. No, it's just also that he gives you everything else to go along the way. One last promise and we'll land the plane. Philippians 4:19. Many of you probably know it. These are things that you can store up. You and I can store up in our spiritual shooters that we fight our battles with, and they're battles of faith. Philippians 4:19. In the New Living Translation says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." In other words, listen, you want to get access to this stuff, you got to be in Christ Jesus. You got to believe. If you don't, these are not promises for you, but they can be. Glorious riches. There is God's bank account full of all the help that you need, never runs dry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing that you're a God, like these verses say, who supplies our every need. And we don't have to say, I can't do it, when we know you're calling us to do something, because you supply the strength and the power and all the spiritual resources we need to carry out your will. And we thank you for Jesus being the perfect provision for our sin. That if we believe in him, like he told the people in John chapter 6, if we believe in him, we can have eternal life. We are, in a sense, eating the bread of life when we believe in Jesus. And so this morning, Lord, I pray if anyone here has not believed, that they would transfer their trust to whatever they're trusting in to have eternal life and to be made right with you. They would transfer that totally into the person of Jesus Christ, knowing that he paid it all on the cross for their sins. And that he offered his body up as the bread of life. If they would just believe, then they could taste of eternal life. Lord, we offer all these things up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.